Begin the current daf Masechtas Megillah daf Chav Zayin. Begin 3 lines down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues in a related discussion from the previous daf, which on the top of this Amud and from the bottom of the previous daf, we had a machlekes between Rav Papi and Rav Papa, if a Beis HaKnesses is bigger or a Beis HaMedrash is bigger, and hence related to the halacha of our previous Mishnah regarding the sale of a shul, we have to upgrade. What's considered an upgrade? A shul or Beis HaMedrash? Shimon Levi had said, like Rav Papi, that the Beis HaMedrash is bigger, and therefore you're allowed to make a Beis HaKnesses into Beis HaMedrash. So related to that, the Gemara brings the following Darash Bar Kapar. Bar Kapar expounded, Ma'edach said, what does it mean the Pasuk Melachim Beis, which is told by the wicked Nebuzaradan, that it says, V'yistrif is Beis HaShem, he burnt the house of HaShem, V'es Beis HaMelech, the house of the king, V'es Kol Bat Yerushalayim, all the houses of Yerushalayim, V'es Kol Beis Godel Sarav Beis, and every, what's called, large house, he burnt in fire. So he says, Beis HaShem, the house of HaShem, it's a Beis HaMedrash, this refers to the temple. Beis HaMelech, the house of the king, Elu Paltar and Shamelech, these are the palaces of the king. That's called Bat Yerushalayim, all the houses of Yerushalayim, K'mishman, literally like, meaning he, all the houses in Yerushalayim. This called by his God will starve Be'esh, and every big house, big in the qualitative sense, starve Be'esh, he burned in fire. What does that mean? So that's a machlekes, like we had in the previous daf. Riechen, Rabbi Shimon Levi. Chanama once says, Malkam Shemagadl by Torah. What do you mean it's big? It's big because that's where they increase the learning of Torah, which is a Beis HaMedrash. Chanama, the one says, Malkam Shemagadl by Tefillah, the place where they increase davening, which is a Beis HaKnesses. Says the Gemara Mando on the Torah, the one that says it's referring to the learning of Torah. The Chassid, like it says, the Pasuk in Yeshaya. Says, Hashem chavitz l'man tzidka, Hashem desired for his righteousness, yagdil Torah v'yadr, so he increased Torah and in its might, we would see that the Magadlan of Bayis Gadl refers to the learning of Torah. But Mando on the Tefillah, the one that says it refers to prayer, the Chassid, like it says, the Pasuk in Lachem Beis. So he said, Saprino, tell me, and the Pasuk continues, Hagadilis asha'os Elisha, all the great things that Elisha did. So it used the terminology of Gadol, and Elisha the Ovid, what Elisha had done was Barach Mehu the Ovid. He did it with prayer. So therefore, he says that Bayis Gadol refers to a place of tefillah. Says the Gemara, Testayim, there's a sign we could prove, Rabbi Shuban Levi Hu the Amar, because it didn't say when the tradition of this machlik is, Rabbi Shuban Levi didn't say who says what. Says the Gemara, based on what we said on the previous daf on the top of the Zaman, Rabbi Shuban Levi Hu the Amar, Makam Shem Hagadlam by Torah. He's the one that says that it's a place where we make great the learning of Torah. Why? Because the Rabbi Shuban Levi, he says that teaching that we had previously quoted on the previous stuff, Beis HaKnesses Mutla Seisei Beis HaMedrash. He says you're allowed to make a shul into a Beis HaMedrash. Obviously, Beis HaMedrash is a Bayis Gadol. Shema Minah, obviously, that he was the one that interpreted that the Bayis Gadol that Nebuzaradan burnt were referring to study halls and not to Beis HaKnesses. Now, continuing to Halacha of our Mishnah that said, Avo Machur Taira, which that's the highest of the Dvarim Shebekdusha, Vissel Sefer Torah, Leichu Svarim V'chulis. They're not allowed to buy a Svarim like Nevi Miksuv, because that's a downgrade. And like we said, all these Dvarim Shebekdusha, you have to upgrade, not downgrade. So Yibaylu did the following related question. Ma'u Limker Sefer Torah Yashin. What's the law? Are you allowed to sell an old Sefer Torah scroll, Likich Bechadish, to go and use those proceeds to buy a new one? What's the question? So the Gemara explains. Kivin Dole Malilei, since you're not upgrading, it's the equivalent. So us, it's forbidden. We said it has to be Milam Bekaidish. You have to upgrade the monetary usage, and it's not upgrading. Or maybe, keeping the Lekel Eluya, Eluya Achrin, since there's nothing more to upgrade, the Sefer Torah is the quintessential, the highest of the Dvarim Shebekdusha. So Shabbat Dami, so then you would be allowed to go ahead and sell the old Sefer Torah to buy a new Sefer Torah. It's only a problem if there's something more to do, but here there's nothing more to do. It says Gemara Tashma, let's make a right from the Halacha of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, as we quoted in the Gemara, Avo Machur Taira Likhu Svarim. But if they sell a Sefer Torah, now they're to downgrade to go ahead and buy Svarim of Nevi Miksuvim with those proceeds. Now the inference is, Svarim Hudala, yeah, you only can't go ahead and buy Nevi Miksuvim with it. Hatar Betar Shaper Dami, but to buy another Sefer Torah with the proceeds of that Sefer Torah, that is okay. Says Gemara, it's not a Raya. Masnit Diyavid. Our Mishnah was told about after the fact, where it was already sold, and that's the wording of the Mishnah. Mishnah says, Machur Taira, if you sold the Sefer Torah, so okay, so you can't buy Nevi Miksuvim with that. So therefore, okay, what are you going to do with the proceeds? You'll buy with those proceeds the Sefer Torah. Because if not, what are you going to buy with it? But Kika Mebailon L'Ketchila, our question was, initially, are you allowed to go ahead and sell an old Sefer Torah to buy a new Sefer Torah? So the Gemara says, Tashma, it's being arrived from the following Brisa. The Brisa says, Goylin Sefer Torah, you could wrap a Sefer Torah b'mitpachis chumashin, with the mantles that were originally used for chumashin, which is only a fifth of the Sefer Torah, which is a type of scroll that only has one of the books of the five books of the Torah. Now, v'chumashin, you could wrap a chumash, b'mitpachis nevi miksuvim, with the mantle of that was used to cover a sefer in Navi or in Ksuvim. Because again, you're using the mantle for an upgrade. Aval, loy nevim ksuvim b'mitpach ischomashin, but you can't wrap Svarm of Nach with the mantle that was originally used for one of the five books of the scrolls of the Sefer Torah, because you're downgrading the mantle. And v'loy chomashin b'mitpach ischomashin, Sefer Torah, you can't cover one of the chomashin with a mantle that used to be used to cover the whole Sefer Torah. Says the Gemara, b'ketani mias, one thing we learned in this braisa, we said, goylem Sefer Torah b'mitpach ischomashin. You could cover a Sefer Torah with the mantle that was originally used for a chomash, because you're upgrading the mantle. Now, the inference is, yeah, mitpach ischomashin in. You could use for the Sefer Torah a mantle of a chomash. But mitpach Sefer Torah lai, but it sounds like, but a mantle of a Sefer Torah, you can use it for a different Sefer Torah. Obviously, you can't change something, even what's the equivalent. If it's being changed, it has to be an upgrade. So therefore, you see, you cannot sell old Sefer Torah to buy a new Sefer Torah. Tosfos Gemara rejects the Raya because Ema Sefer. Look at the Sefer of the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, the Braisa said, V'leicha Moshin b'mitpachis Sefer Torah. You can't cover a Chumash with one of the mantles of a Sefer Torah because that's a downgrade. Now the inference is, yeah, Hotar B'Torah Shaper Dami. But to cover a Sefer Torah with the mantle of a different Sefer Torah, that would be permitted because you're not downgrading. So Elamahalak Elamashman, rather says the Gemara, obviously from this Braisa you can't infer either way because there's conflicting inferences. One says that it's got to be an upgrade, which means equivalent you can't. Other one says it can't be a downgrade, which sounds like that the equivalent is okay. So the Gemara says, Tashra Matzvinger Rai from the following Braisa. The Braisa says, Menichin Sefer Torah Al-Gabei Torah. You're allowed to put one Sefer Torah on top of another Sefer Torah, which this is the primary proof. We see that although you're not allowed to put something less sanctified on top of something more sanctified, but when it's the equivalent, we see that that is equivalent. You're allowed to do one with the other. Now, v'tar gam b'chumashim, you're allowed to say v'tar on top of b'chumash. B'chumashim agam b'nevim k'suvim, you could put a chumash on top of one of the books of the Nach, of Nevim k'suvim. Aval, but, loy nevim k'suvim agam b'chumashim, you can't put a sefer in Navi or k'suvim on top of a chumash. V'loy chumashim agam b'tar, and neither could you put one of the scrolls of a chumash on top of a sefer Torah. But one thing you see from the opening halacha, that when it's equivalent, then they are exchangeable. Says the Gemara, no, it's not a rai, it's not a proof. Hanocha kamer, you're talking about putting one thing on top of another one? Shani hanocha d'leyavshir. Placing one on the other is different because it's not possible if we didn't allow equivalencies to be one on top of the other. Because the ilay temahacha, because if you didn't say that since it's not possible, then we treat it equal. Then how would you be able to wrap, to roll a Sefer Torah together? But you're having every page of the parchment on top of another page, and it's on top of the other one. Obviously, since it's not possible to roll a Sefer Torah without having one page on top of another one, so therefore it's permitted. Here also, because it's not possible, we're going to put the Sefer Torah, you're going to have to put something on top of a pile, one on top of the other. You don't have limited space in the length of a room, you have to use the height. So therefore it's permitted, but therefore it's not a raya regarding selling an old Sefer Torah, that would say the equivalent thing is that you could use it to buy a new Sefer Torah. So the Gemara says, Tashma Tzvinga Raya, from the following halacha. The Amar Rabba B'Bachon Amar B'yechen M'shim M'shim M'lil says, Lo Yimker Adam Sefer Torah Yashin, says a person is not allowed to sell an old Sefer Torah, Likir B'chadish, to buy a new Sefer Torah. So you see clearly that it's forbidden. Says Gemara, no, it's not a raya. Hasam M'shim P'shiyusa. That halacha is because of negligence. Maybe you're going to sell it, and then you'll have the money. You won't go ahead and buy a new Sefer Torah with it, and then the money will be already used and lost, and then the Sefer Torah will have already been depleted. When did we say the question was Kagain the Kasav? The new scroll is already written and it's in the house of the scribe. And it's waiting there to be redeemed. The only thing that's let up over here is that the payment from the person who doesn't have money, funds, only has the old Sefer Torah. Mai, that was our question. Could he sell the old Sefer Torah to go ahead and buy the new one? Here there's no negligence because all he has to do is go get it from the scribe's house. So says the Gemara Tashamat, let's bring a raya. Because the Amr B'yichin Meshumer Meir, he says, "Ein meichren Sefer Torah, not allowed to sell a Sefer Torah. Ela lulmei Torah, only if it's for the purposes of learning Torah, where if a person needs parnasa, needs sustenance to learn Torah, which the Gemara's assumption right now is, you see that okay, equivalencies in Torah, you're allowed to sell the Sefer Torah for, which would sound like that also you could sell it to buy a new Sefer Torah, and valisa isha, and to go out and marry a wife. So says the Gemara, Shmame not Torah b'Torah Shabbadumi. So you see that equivalencies of Torahs are permitted." You could sell a Torah to learn Torah, you could sell a Torah and seemingly also to buy a new Sefer Torah. The Gemara rejects the proof. Dimashani limit. No, maybe learning Torah is different. Shaliman mevil de maisa. Because learning Torah brings to actually acting on the Torah, which is the whole purpose of why we're here in this world. And so to Ishanami, the reason why you could sell to marry a wife is because, like the pasuk says in Yeshaya, it wasn't for nothingness that Hashem created the world. L'sheves yitzara, He formed it so that it should be settled. So therefore, those are two exceptions because these are the purposes of the world. But to sell an old one, to buy a new one, maybe that wouldn't be permitted, and therefore the Gemara doesn't bring a proof regarding this question. Tanabam lena braisa. Continue on this halacha. Loyim ka adam sefer Torah. A person is not allowed to sell a Torah scroll. Even if he doesn't need it anymore, let's say he has another sefer Torah to use. Yes, and more than this, Rabbi Shimon Gilil says, even if a person doesn't have what to eat, and he sells the Torah scroll, he sells his daughter, he's never going to see a sign of blessing from those monies that he sold, because it's not appropriate to sell one's daughter or a sefer Torah. Now, the Mishnah said that, moreover, that not only you're not allowed to downgrade the monetary usage of something of sanctity that you sold, but even the leftover monies also cannot be downgraded. Now, Amar Rabbi qualifies this halacha, and he says, Leishana, we didn't learn about leftover monies that also have the same restrictions of only upgrading in sanctity. Elishamachru bahisiru. Only if what they did was they sold one of these sanctified elements we mentioned in the Mishnah, and then they purchased from those monies something of a higher sanctity, but then there were still some monies left over. So that leftovers monies also has that restrictions. Avol, but says Rava Gavu. Let's say they collected monies from the public for the purposes of, let's say, writing a Sefer Torah, and they purchased a Sefer Torah. Vaisiru, and they had leftover funds that they had collected. Then says Rava Mutter is permitted to use it for even a lower level sanctity because it never was utilized yet in a severe level of sanctity of the Sefer Torah. It was collected for that, but that doesn't give it yet those restrictions, and therefore you could even use it for a lower level of sanctity. However, Eis Rabayim, Abaya asks from the following Braisa. The Braisa says, B'med v'mum, the Braisa is qualifying the halacha of our Mishnah that said that Ma'ilam Makaydish, when you're selling a sanctified thing, you have to use from the proceeds to buy something that's higher sanctity. So says the Braisa, when did we say this? This was only Shalei Hisnu, only if they didn't stipulate that, on the condition that we could use from the monies whatever we want to use with it. That's when they're limited that, then have to be Ma'ilam Makaydish. Aval Hisnu, but if they stipulated, which we're going to explain shortly what that is, then even it would be permitted to use the funds for that. Now, says Abaya, what's the Braisa talking about? If you think that the Braisa is literally on the case that we were originally translating the halacha of our mission, that they're talking about that they sold a davar shebekdusha and had leftover funds. So then, says Abaya, ki hisnu mayhava, what would the Braisa say? If they stipulate that, then they could use it for whatever they want to. But that's still the monetary sanctity that the Mishnah said of Hisiru, that you can't use it whatever you want. What does it help stipulation? It's Dimei Kedusha, it's sanctified monies. Ella rather says Abaya, obviously what the Brice is talking about is Shagavu Vahisiru. It means to say if they collected monies for something and they bought the thing but they had leftover monies, that's where they're saying that you can have the limitations. But as the Gemara says, as Abaya is explaining, time of the Hisnu. But the reason is because since they stipulated when they collected the monies to say, whatever we want to use from the monies, we can use it for whatever purposes we want from the leftover monies. So that's where the Braisa says, then they can buy whatever they want from those leftover monies. But halloi hisnu loy. But it sounds like if they didn't stipulate, even from what they'd never used, not what they sold and then have money, what they collected for, and it was never used yet, that even then, no, you wouldn't be able to use it whatever you want to. That refutes Rava, who he said that even without a stipulation, it's permitted to use the leftover funds that were just collected for whatever they want. You see that, no, it has to be with a stipulation. So Rishon Gemara answers, no, it's not difficult on Rava. La'ilam shemachru b'hisira. Actually, the Braisa is talking about a qualification of the halacha of a Mishnah, which was talking about that they sold the davar shebekdusha and they had leftover funds. If they had leftover funds, what does a stipulation help? So it says the Gemara b'hachakam, and actually this is what the Braisa is saying. When did we say that you have to be Ma'ilam Makaydish v'emeriden? What does it mean, hisnu? It doesn't mean that they just stipulated. It means, shalei hisnu shiva toivei ha'ir, but ma'imed an she'ir, which we mentioned in the previous daf, that they didn't stipulate with the seven custodians, those in charge of the city, in the presence of the people of the city, which, that's when we have the general halacha of the Mishnah, that, even when you sell it, but you have to use it for a higher level of sanctity and even the leftover funds. But if the Yes, even what was sold. But when they sold it, it was with the seven people in charge of the city, and with the consent of the people of the city. Then you could use even whatever mundane purposes you want. Even for that, it's permitted, like we said in the previous stuff, that would actually qualify, that there's no sanctity whatsoever. It would remove all sanctity, and it wouldn't have the halacha of our Mishnah. That's what hisnu means. It doesn't mean in general stipulating, because, general stipulating doesn't help halacha of a Mishnah. And according to Rabbi, you don't need it when it was just collected for it. Rather, it means regarding machur b'hisiru. Amalei Abaya lehum rabbanim. So that was a good answer that Rabbi gave to Abaya. Now Abaya said to one of those rabbis that Masada Masnita Kamed Rav Sheshes, who he was the one that organized the brises to be taught in front of Rav Sheshes, says Mishmielach Rav Sheshes. Did you hear from Rav Sheshes? My dechsusia. What is this dechsusia? Because we see from this brisa that which Abaya was quoting that, obviously means some mundane purpose, which he thought it was a question of Rava. Rava answered that no, it's told Mamach Beisiru. But he asked him, what does dechsusia mean? So Amalei says, Hacham Rav Sheshes. This is what Rav Sheshes said. It's Parasha de Masa, which is that the people of the city, they would hire someone that would ride on a horse, that would always be ready to go out for a messenger or an agency to go out to the governors for when they needed it. So that type of a person to pay him, you're even allowed to go ahead and use this Dava Shibakdusha if it was Shibatavir that they sold it for. That's what Hisnu means, that you could even, it loses all sanctity. Now, Amabaya says, Hilkach, therefore, what we learn from this is, Haitzuvim Rabbanon, the Shamalei Milsa. So if there's a Talmudic scholar that hears a teaching, but the other Perusha doesn't know the interpretation, like over here, where he heard that the halacha is that you could even use the proceeds for the chsusya, but didn't know what that word meant, L'shay l'kameh d'shchich kameh Rabban. You should ask someone that frequents in front of the rabbis, D'lei efshad d'lei shmeh l'min giver rabba. It's not possible that he won't hear the interpretation from a great man, which, like in this person who was in front of Rav Sheshes, he heard the interpretation of what does the chsusim mean. It means parasha de masa, that again you could use from the machru b'hisiru, not like Abaye thought to ask from, which is if at least it was his nu b'shibetayvir. Now, thing in a related vein regarding the institutions of a city, Amr b'yichad m'shimre mayor says b'nei ha'ir shahochel ir acheres, people from one city that went to another city, upaskal in tzedakah, and the charity collectors in charge of that town that they went to was imposing a tax of charity on all the people in the city, which included the visitors too, so nice. They should give the money to the charity collector of that city so that they shouldn't be suspected as if that there was everyone had to give charity and they didn't give. But since they're not really from that city, but when they're going back home, so then they go and collect from the collector and they take the money back, and they bring it with them back home, and then they provide sustenance for the poor people of their city. Tanim Hoch is similar in the Braisa. B'nei'ir Shalchel Erachez, people from one city, they go to another city. Upaskal in Tzedakah, and there's a tax of charity on everyone that's there in the city. So Naisen, they give it to the collector. But when they're coming back home, they bring the monies back with them. However, V'yachit Shalchel Erachez. But if let's say just an individual goes to another city, Upaskal of Tzedakah, and they impose charity on him, T'nasim La'ni'ir, he has to give the charity to the poor of the city that he went to. As the Gemara brings a story, Rav Huna Gaza Tanis, Rav Huna, he decreed a public fast. So Oligabe Rav Chana Bar Chani Loi V'chol B'nei Masei. So Rav Chana Bar Chani Loi from a different town, with all the people of his town, they came to Rav Huna to participate in that public fast. So Ramei Lai Tzedakah. So there's a lot of charity that's imposed by a public fast, and they imposed it on Rav Chana Bar Chani Loi and his townspeople too. V'yav when they gave it. Now, Kiboy Lemesi, when they wanted to go back home, Amr Levi said to him, okay, Neisabal and Mar Venezel, let the master give us back the money, we'll go. We'll provide for the poor of our town. Because that's the halacha we said before. When a group of people from one city go to another one, they give it, but they get it back when they're going back to their town. To which Amr Lehu, on that, he said to them, no. Tanin learned in the Braisa that says, when do we say this, that, when a group goes to one town, they give, but they get it back when they're going back to their town? That's only b'she'ein sham, that's only if in the town that they went to, as we continue to base, that there isn't a chaver ir, that there isn't a Talmudic scholar who's involved in taking care of the needs of the public. Aval yeshem chaver ir, but if the town that they went to that imposed the charity has a Talmudic scholar that's in charge of these things, tinasin l'chaver ir, you give it to the Talmud scholar. And therefore here, since Rav Huna was in charge, he says, no, I'm going to keep the money. And moreover, he said to them, "V'kolshkin, for sure, in this situation, that the poor of my town and of your town, they rely on me anyway. So don't take the monies, because anyways, your people from your town are going to come to me anyway. And therefore, he says, I'm going to hold on to the money and not give it back to you." Now, continuing with the next Mishnah, continuing the theme of this parak of the previous Mishnah regarding the sale of a shul. So the Mishnah says, "Eimaychin eshal rabim liyachid." You cannot sell a shul that's from a public to give it to an individual, to sell it to an individual. It says because you're downgrading the sanctity. Although it's still going to be kept as a shul by the individual, but ultimately it's going from that of a tzibur, of a public, to an individual, therefore you're not allowed to sell that. To which Amulai, the sages said to Rameir, Imkain, if that's the case, then you shouldn't be allowed to sell the shul from a large city to a small city, because that's also a downgrade. Now says the Gemara, Shabbat Kamali Rabban L'Rameir, the Rabban have a good taina to Rameir. Why is it Rameir differentiates, and he says that you could sell from a large city to a small city, but not from a rabban to a yachid. Says the Gemara, Rameir, Me'ir G'day L'Ir Katana, if you're selling a shul, the basic knesses, from a large city to be used in a small city, Mikar Kadisha, Hashanami Kadisha. Originally it had sanctity, now it also has sanctity. They both are still being used as a shul. But Miram Liyachad Leka Kadusha, from a public to an individual, there's no Kadusha, and literally Kadusha, which is the one that said, and also that of sanctity, because you don't say Dvarm Shabakdusha, which is all the things, Kaddish and Boruchu and all these things, less than 10 people, and now there's no more 10 people. It's not a tzibur, it's being used by an individual, and therefore he held that that's not allowed to be done. What, for Rabbanan, they would tell you, no, if there is such a concern like Rameir has between many to a few, then even from a large city to a small city, you should also have a concern. Mishum, because like the Pasuk says, initially, Baroiv Am Hadras Malach, with the multitudes of the people, is glory for the king. Which is that, yeah, even from many to a few, of like a large city to a small city, that should also be a concern. And then you won't ever have a situation that you could sell a shul, because anytime you can be downgraded. Rather, the Rabban hold, we're not concerned, because since you're getting monetary proceeds, which, like we said in the Halacha of the Mishnah, is being used to upgrade something of sanctity, you're going to be buying, let's say, like a Sefer Torah or whatever that's from the shul. So whatever the consumer takes it for, even the individual, he could use it for, except the Chacham hold, like in the next Mishnah is going to say, four type of disrespectful acts, that's forbidden, but everything else they hold is permitted, even from a rabbin, from a tzibur to a yachid. Now, the next Mishnah continues on this theme and says, "Im moichin beis haknesses," another limitation that one is not allowed to sell a beis haknesses el al tnai, only with a stipulation shem yirtzu yachziru, that if the people who are selling the shul, if they want to, they can take it back. Then that's the only way they could sell the shul. That's the Rameir, and that's even from one public to another public. Rameir holds in the previous Mishnah, okay, that would be one way you'd be allowed to sell it. Here he's limiting and saying, but it cannot be a final sale, because if one's selling it totality, then that's disgraceful to say, like, okay, it doesn't mean anything to us. No, the only way they could sell it is if they stipulate that if they want, they could get it back. Now, the sages say, no, you could sell it a total binding sale, and as in the previous mission, even from a rabbin to a yachid, and for whatever utility the buyer wants to use it for, except for four things. You can't use it as a bathhouse, ulaborsaki, and you can't use it for a tanning house, which is where they would tan and work through the hides of the animal. Letvila, for immersing like a pool. Ulabesamayim, and for the house of the water, which either means for a laundry place or for a urinal where people would urinate. Now, Rabbi Yehuda, he says, no, meichonos l'shem chatz. You could sell it to whoever's buying it for the purposes of a courtyard. Va'alekech ma'asher yirtzias, and the one who buys it could do whatever he wants with it. Now the Gemara asks, well, the Rameir, that he says, no, you're not allowed to just sell a total sale of a shul. It has to be with the intention of that if they want to get it back, they can get it back. The question then becomes, heichid dai riba, then the one who buys it, how could he live in that building of the shul? Hahavi la ribis, it's going to be a prohibition of lending on interest. Why? Because what ends up coming out is when he's giving the money to the shul, to those who own the shul, essentially it comes out that if they're going to get it back, that means to say, okay, he was lending them money because that what he paid them for wasn't a total pay. It was like he's lending them money and then he was using the shul in the meantime. When then they go in and give him back the money because they're taking back the shul, so then it comes out that that was interest that he was charging for the loan, that he was using the shul for all that time until they went and took it back. So that's a prohibition of ribis, of lending on interest. So Rabbi Yechanan, he says, yes, but Rameir b'shitas Rabbi Huda Amr. Rameir was going in the opinion of Rabbi Huda. The Amr that he says, sad echad beribis mutter. If there's only one option of it possibly being interest, but there's an option that it's not going to be interest, then that's going to be permitted. It's not like we're in a b'risa. Harishal yonoshah b'chaveri mana. If someone was collecting, had an outstanding debt by his friend, let's say a loan, of a mana, so v'asalai sedeu mecher. So the borrower What he did was, is that he made his field like a sale to the lender, which is that he said to the lender, he said, if I don't pay, then this field is, quote, sold to you for the money that I owe you. So it says the Braisam, Bizman Shemecha Eichel Peres, if the seller, which is the borrower, was eating the produce throughout all that whole time, so then Mutter, that's permitted because that's not ribbis, because it's only at the end. When he defaults, then it's going to go to the lender, which is, quote, the buyer, but all along, there wasn't any dividends that he was getting. He wasn't getting anything out of that loan. But Lekeich Eichel Peres, says the Tanna Kamma, if the consumer, meaning the lender, was eating the produce all that time, that's us, that's forbidden, because it might end up being ribbis. Because if it turns out that he pays him for the loan instead of the field, and the field's going to go back to the borrower, who's, quote, the seller, that means, but all those peres that he ate in that interim was interest on the loan. Now, Rabbi Hudami says, no. Afil Lekeich Eichel Peres Mutter. Even if the consumer was eating the produce, meaning the lender, it's permitted. Because although it could end up being interest if, let's say, he pays him the loan, but since if he wouldn't pay him the loan and then he would default and the person would get the field, it turns out that it was a sale all along and it wasn't interest. So therefore, it's always permitted to be done. That's what's known as sad echad beribis. One option of the outcome is possibly ribis, one not. Says Rabbi Yehuda, that's permitted. And more of Amr Behudi proves this. He says, Maisa bebeisis ben zainan, which is the name of a person, sha'asa sadehu mecher al pirib al-azim al-azari, that what he did, the same thing. He made his field, quote, a sale for an outstanding debt against him, which was a loan that he had, and he sold it, again, if he's going to default on the loan, and the consumer, meaning the lender, was eating the produce in that whole interim period. So you see that since it's only tzarecha beribis, it's mutter. To which Amr Lai, the sages said to Behuda, no, Misham Raya, from there is proof, no, it was the seller, the borrower, he was eating the produce all along, and not the consumer, meaning the lender, and therefore there was no ribis there whatsoever. He wasn't taking anything all along. It's only at the end that will be verified if he's going to pay him with the field or with the money, but he was not taking anything. And if you don't have any proof, they said to him that tzad echad beribis is mut. But says the Gemara, as we were explaining all along, my benayik, what's the difference between the Behuda and the Chacham? It's tzad echad beribis, it's benayik. The difference between them is when there's one option of it being interest and another option of it not being interest. If there's only one option that's going to be interest, but not necessarily that so, then it's actually permitted to go ahead and give such a loan. And that's what Reb Meir held too. So when they're selling the shul to another person, yeah, although they have to make a stipulation, the clause, that if they want, they can get it back. But if they don't take it back, so then there's no interest, because then it was sold. If they do, then it would be. But since it's not definitive, so therefore that's permitted. But Amar Sava the Rabban, they disagree with this, and they hold Tzarecha beribis aser. No, if there's a one option for ribis, then it's actually forbidden to do this. Now Rav Amar, he gives a different interpretation in the Machlegis we just quoted from the Braisa. No, actually the Kuli Amar, everyone holds Tzarecha beribis aser. Even Rabbi Yehuda would hold, if there's one option of it being ribis, then it's forbidden to do such a sale/loan. V'hacha ribis amanas lahachzik b'nei. But the difference between them is, regarding, yes, that even if it's going to be a charge of interest, but if it's going to be, then they'll give that back, that's the difference between them. That is Marsa Rabbi Yehuda held, Ribbis amanas lahach zemutter. If there's a charge of interest, which is, let's say, it ends up not being a sale, he ends up paying money, and therefore the lekeich was eating the eichel peres all along, is interest, but then he says, if that's the case, then I'll give it back so that we didn't violate interest, then that's permitted. Which comes out, Rabbi Meir the Mishnah held the same way as Rabbi Yehuda, where they stipulated that if the shul is going to get the shul back from the one who bought it, that then they're going to go ahead and give back the one who bought it, quote unquote, who turns out that retroactively was a loan, he'll give back all that he had utilized, that is permitted, like Rabbi Yehuda. Whereas Zomar Savasa, but the Chacham held that no, it's forbidden to go ahead and retroactively try to undo it by say, I'll pay back the interest, and therefore that's the machlekes, but again, that's the interpretation of Meir in the Mishnah. It's not ribis, either because it's tzarecha beribis is mutter, or even if you say that's aser, because of ribis amanas lahachzer, that's why it's mutter. Now, in the Mishnah, the second opinion was v'chachamim, they disagree. They say, no, meicher naisa memker oila mechulu, you're allowed to sell it for a total binding sale, just except for four usages, whereas according to Behud, he says, no, you could sell it for whatever, as a courtyard, and then the consumer could use it, whatever he wants. Now, relating to the halacha of the Mishnah, the Gemara brings that Amr Behuda Mishmol says, Mutul Adam Lahashtin Mayim, permitted for a person to urinate, Betech Dal Ramesh El Tzvula, within an area of four Amis of where he prayed, as long as he waited a little bit, as we'll shortly see. Now, Amar Rabbi Yisuf says, "My kamash malan." What exactly is he teaching us? Tanina, this dalach of our Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Aimer, he said, "Meichin ois l'shem chatzi." Let us sell a shul for the purposes of a courtyard, and v'likeach mesha yirtziyase, and the ketzuba could use it whatever he wants to, which even not like the chacham. He said they could even use it to urinate, to make urinals over there. So obviously you're allowed to go ahead and urinate in a place where someone prayed, because you could even use a shul for urinals. Now, moral visas. Even the Rabbanu said that no, you can't make the shul into urinals. That's ilabes haknesses. That's only a shul, the kavi, kedushasid, that there was a permanent element of sanctity. That's where people came three times a day to pray over there. So therefore, that's limited. You can't make urinals over there. Of all dalad amas, but just an area of someone prayed within the four amas of someone prayed, that's not a permanent sanctity. Someone just happened to pray over there. Lai, obviously, that even the Rabbanim would agree that you're allowed to urinate over there, and therefore, what's the chiddush of Yehuda Mishmul? We obviously know this from the halacha of our Mishnah. Now, continuing on this theme, Tanit Tanit Kamid Rav Nachman. There was a teacher of Brises, a Torah from the Rav Nachman, the following halacha. Hamispal of someone's davens, Marchik dalad amas umashtin. He has to distance himself four amas from where he davened, and then the mashin, and then he could urinate. So too, in the reverse, v'hamashin, if someone urinated, marchik dalad amas umispal. He has to first distance himself four amas, and then he could pray. So Amalei said to him, bishlem hamashin marchik dalad amas umispal. I understand the second halacha that you said, that if someone urinated, he has to distance himself four amas from where he urinated, and then he could daven. That's tanina, we learned that in the Mishnah, Maseches Brachos. The Mishnah says, "Kama yarchik mehen umin hatzoya." How much does a person have to distance himself from urine and from feces to daven? It's dalad amos. You have to distance a period of dalad amos, because or else it's a problem of being in something that's disgusting, which you can't pray in dalad amos of that. But el hamispal marchik dalad amos umashtim. But your first halacha that you said that if someone davens, he has to then go away four amos, like around 8 feet from where he daven, and only mashtim, and then only there he could urinate. But lamali, which is exactly as we said before, that's not required. He says, why would you need that? He says, if that would be the case, that wherever anyone davens, you can't urinate over there, you would have to be like 8 feet away, then you would have sanctified all the pathways in Arda, because there is no area of Dalad Amas that someone on his road, on traveling, didn't pray over there. And that means to say that you wouldn't be able to urinate anywhere on the roads of Arda, which a person is allowed to urinate somewhere on the side of the road. So rather, says the Gemara, you're right, Tanei Yisha. It doesn't mean that you have to distance yourself, Dalad Amas, from where a person prayed. It means that you have to wait and delay and tarry the amount of time that it takes to walk for Amas. Oh, so now with that new interpretation regarding his two halachas, so the Gemara goes back to ask and says, okay, Bishlam and Mashtin, so we understand regarding if a person urinated and then is going to daven. So you understand that Yisha Kedehilich Dalad Amas. They have to wait the amount of time it takes to walk for Amas. Because if he just urinated, because of the droplets, we don't want the droplets to drip on his garments from his male member. So, okay, first wait a few moments, and then go ahead and pray. El mispal, but regarding this, that we're reinterpreting the halacha, where we said, okay, that if you davened, that yishikad dehilach dalad amas, that you have to wait the amount, not, you don't have to distance dalad amas. Yeah, you could daven, you could urinate right where a person davened. But we say you have to wait the amount of time of going to Dalarama, says the Gemara, even according to that new interpretation, Lamali, why would that be required? Why can't you urinate right after you daven? So Rabashi says, because you're called Dalarama, the amount of time that it takes to walk Dalarama, tfilasi sidur befiv, a person's words of prayer are still organized in his mouth, his lips are still murmuring, meaning a person just finished davening, he's saying the last few things. If a person would urinate right after, he would be saying Dvarim Shebekdush as his urinate. So first you got to wait the amount of time of Dalad Amas, and only then could you urinate. And therefore that was the halacha they were saying. But of course, like we said, even based on kinesis, you're allowed to. But for sure, if someone just prayed in a certain place, you could urinate in that same place. Now actually, the Gemara now brings Zalf and Simon, which each letter is a mnemonic of a teaching, which actually we find that someone actually had the stringency of actually not urinating in a place where there was prayer. Although we said that it's permitted, but the Gemara brings that Shalu Tamidavis Reb Zakkai. The students asked Reb Zakkai, "B'maharachtiyam, how'd you live a long life, and what merit was it?" So Amalehem, he said to them the following things. He says, "Miyamai, in all my days, lo hishtanti mayim b'techt alam shatzvila. I didn't urinate in four amas of a place where there was prayer." So again, although we said that that's permitted, you just have to wait the amount of time, but he had that stringency that he didn't urinate in place four amas of a place where there was prayer. V'lekenisi shem lechaveri, says, I never gave a nickname to my friend, which is derogatory. V'lebitati kiddush hayim, and he says, I never nullified the mitzvah of making kiddush on the time when you have to make kiddush. And moreover, he says, I had an elderly mother that Pamachas Macher Kibesha Bereisha. One time she sold the veil on her head. Vivili Kiddush Hayim, she brought me wine to make Kiddush for the day. Shabbos and Yom Tov, which is the sanctification on the cup of wine. Now, Tanu Litna Braisa, that Kishamesa, when his mother passed away, he nichale gimel meis garbayayin, she left over him 300 barrels of wine. And Kishamesa, when he passed away, he nichale banav shleishis alofim garbayayin, he left over for his sons 3,000 barrels of wine. That's how much he was into the mitzvah of Kiddush Hayim. Now, related discussion, which how far they went for the mitzvah of Kiddush, the Gemara says, the Rav Huna, have ase risa. He was wearing a belt made out of grass, like a type of gemi, type of like from a plant. And v'koi kamed Rav, and he was standing in front of Rav. So Amalei Rav said to Mai Hai, what's the belt? What's your regular belt? You're wearing a belt made out of grass to hold up your trousers? So Amalei said to him, lo havali kiddush. He says, I didn't have money for kiddush. U'mashkanti lehem yonoi, and I used my belt as collateral to buy kiddush, v'asoi b'kiddush, and that's how I was able to get kiddush to make. So Amalei, so Rav said to me, hey Rav, let it be the will of Hashem, to teach him that you should be enclosed and wrapped with clothing, b'shiroi, that's made out of silk. Meaning in that merit that you gave up your belt, you should have more honorable clothing like those made out of silk. Now, the Gemara tells us that Ki Achlal Rabba Berei, when his son, the son of Rav Huna, Rabba was getting married, when he was going to the chuppah, Rav Huna Inish Gutzahava, Rav Huna was a small man, Gana Puriya, so he was laying down on the couch, taking a nap. Asin Bansi Bakase, and in the interim, his daughters and his daughter-in-laws came, and Shulchan, they took off their clothing, Vishadi Minayu Alei, and they put the clothing on top of him, at the Eitum Bishara, until he was enwrapped and clothed in silk. So you saw that the blessing was fulfilled. Now, Shama Rav, Ikbid, Rav who gave the blessing, heard about this, and he was bothered by this. Amar, he said to Rav Huna, my time, Maloya Martali, Kebrachticha, why didn't you tell me when I blessed you, Vachain Lamar, and so too for the master, meaning that you should also have the same blessing, because maybe that was an opportune time, and like we see, the blessing was fulfilled with you, maybe it would have been fulfilled with me too, that I would also be enwrapped in silk clothing. Now, similar, like we said before, Shol Tamid Bes Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua, his students asked him, B'ma harachta yamim, why did you live a long life? So Amalemi said to them, Miyamai lo yasisi kapadrai lebeis haknesses. In all my days, I never made the shul into a shortcut. Like if I had to get in one way to go through the other door as a shortcut, I never did that. V'lei pesati al rashi am kaddish. I never stepped over the heads of the holy people, meaning when the students were sitting in the beis medrash, which they used to sit on the floor, if someone's going through them to get to his place, it looks like he's stepping over the heads of the people, say, I never did that to get to my place. And v'lei nesasi kapai. I never did nesis kapayim, which is to do the duchening of the birchas kahanim, to bless the people, b'lei bracha, without a blessing, because the kahanim have to make a bracha before they do birchas kahanim. Bracha ta Hashem lekein melechel mashekedushan b'kedushas shel aron, as the Gemara says in Seita Dav Lametes Amalav. He says, and I never did nesis kapayim without a bracha. It was because of all these things that he said I merited to live a long life.